FBI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm.
It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and
Chris Gale,
as they fire up.
Hey, look, Chris, in the wise words of Rex Mossop, some of those idiots who follow rugby league, and in this glittering new year of rugby league, why doesn't somebody get me, put my head in a bucket and say, it's not working? At some point, you've got to face the truth, go into the room full of mirrors with a bottle of Windex and a couple of rags and go, it's just not on, son. If I thought rugby league was a harsh and cruel mistress last week, what is she this week, Chris?
Can I paint a picture for the listeners, Stephen?
Yes, you can.
Sitting across from me, Stephen is currently sporting a pair of extreme premium locking leather wrist cuffs. He's astride a pig sling with stirrups bondage sling. And he's wearing, and that's why his voice sounds a little muffled, he's
strained.
Wearing an extreme premium leather sensory deprivation hood.
Yes.
Because this week...
Have you mentioned the snooker balls?
That's right, he's got
the
ball gag, as we say in the industry. Last week she was ass mistress.
Yes.
This week she's a dominatrix.
This week she's inflicting pain of the highest order. She's straddling me and she's done so for the whole, since last Friday night, whipping the living daylights out of me, Chris.
On the S&M axis, you're definitely filling both roles at the moment, Stephen.
Now, I know you're a big fan of Dan Brown and his wonderful books.
Well,
in one of those things, I don't know if it's Opus Dei, but there's a monk, and the monk needs to inflict as much pain to remind himself about what Jesus went through to sacrifice himself for the good of all of us.
Birch branches, hair shirts, that sort of deal.
Underneath the cassock was the leather restraint with the metal pieces digging into his muscles as he moved.
Given the way you're oriented in the pig sling, I can't actually see what you've got there on your legs, but I can only assume it's drawing blood of some type.
I'm referring to a moment. It was a beautiful idea. Thank you very much. Foxtel, I think it was, for the retro round back at the SCG, freezing up in the stands there on a Friday night and going, we just got to put this one in the bag, Dragons, to remain in the eight. That's all you got to do. Just put it in the bag. We had in the bag, we had, I think, 6 or 7 good minutes, and we managed to dominate. And I think we were 8 points ahead with 8 minutes to go. 7 minutes to go, 6 minutes to go. All you got to do is defend. It's not a difficult proposition.
Yeah, for 74 minutes, you were like Miss Pamela, who's standing over you right now.
Yes.
Whip ready to crack.
And there I was. What was I saying about the Burgeye brothers last week?
A little bit overweight, was that?
Too fat. I actually might have thrown too slow, too stupid. But too fat will do us this week. And who's eating that humble pie this week, Chris?
Who's eating that humble pie?
Yeah.
You're not referring to one, apart from yourself.
Yes, apart from myself.
You're not referring to one Mark Spud Carroll by any chance, are you, Steve?
Well, Spuddy started this whole damn thing, didn't he?
He did. He got involved.
Yeah, I'm going to send him the bill for all the pain and suffering and the time in the dungeon.
If there's something that the modern rugby league player lacks its real motivation.
Yeah.
And so you have to find it from odd sources.
Mm.
And the Burgeye, who, let's face it, have been an absolute train wreck this year. Sam has been playing a lone hand. I mean, Luke has
I hope he's not a friend of yours, Chris.
He's not, but I'd like to be friends with him because he's on Instagram with all that luxury lifestyle, Porsches and
he's
glamorous family.
He's not associated with the colourful Abraham family, is he?
Well, I think he'd be probably distancing himself from that at the moment, as we all are.
Right, yes.
Because you would have moved in the Abraham circles at some stage, Steve,
many,
in your
many times,
nightclub
yes.
lifestyle situation.
And can I just, for the record, say nightclubs weren't invented by John Abraham.
is that correct?
Just for the record, okay?
You're not packing a Glock over there amongst all that other paraphernalia,
right? He might take credit for making money in the King's Cross, but he didn't take credit for any of the culture.
He's just the latest night lord or whatever he described himself proclaimed.
Yes, in a row of many that we've seen.
That's right. Yes, they come, they go, fire up persists.
Look, can I just say the Chinamen have been up there. We've had all sorts of Mr. Sin's been up there.
Lenny McPherson,
John
Mr. Big.
John will be a blip in the memory of human history.
Friedman's and all that sort of
all
deal.
All that guff, yeah. We've seen him come and go, Chris.
But the Burgess, the Twins, as I said, Luke Burgess has been playing better than the Twins this year, and he's not even in the country.
Right.
He's playing better for South than they have.
Better stats.
Yeah.
Right.
But everything. He's had more impact on South's performance than the Twins.
Right.
They haven't been able to hang on a ball, in the entire season, and then all of a sudden, faced with a 10-point deficit, was it, with less than 10 minutes to go?
It was too painful to remember, Chris.
Something occurred to them, and that was the harsh words... Yeah. Not of you,
no.
But of Mark Spud Carroll. Yeah. And by the way...
We take no credit. Spuddy just incited us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that we should possibly land on this morning, if we can give one contribution back to rugby league that's given us, let's face it, so much...
Well, 13 good years.
And counting.
And more.
is it Spud with two Ds or one D? Because I've got no idea
Man,
right now.
Man, look, as a chap of Irish stock, Spud is S-P-U-D, And we always knew Mark Spud Carroll is S-P-U-D. Suddenly there's two Ds.
I don't know.
Is this some fancy branding? Is it trademarked?
Look, he's been in...
A clothing range?
It's been a week of recrimination for Spud because of the reaction from the Burgess in relation to his comments. Yeah. So he's been out in the media hustings and he's done the one-on-one with Sturlo. He's been on the grill team. He's in the press. In the grill team... Oh, he's on 360. In fact, he's come to the US. Spud's been everywhere.
Well, it all started here.
It did all start here. He was on our show earlier this year, courtesy of one Jeremy Halpern.
He got a taste for the limelight.
He liked being heard.
Yes.
But in that sort of media tour, that sort of presser, one thing that he's brought to the table was that it was in fact the great Russell Crowe who gave him the design and font of his gym.
Ah.
And his gym, of course, is Spud's 2Ds, hence the confusion.
Hence the confusion.
So it's possible that it was Russell Crowe's spelling mistake that has led to this great conundrum that we now face.
Well, we've been giving a fair bit of stick to Rusty about the performance of South, so something's working any which way you do it. So in this what was a train wreck, Rusty has a quiet word in Spud's ear.
Yes.
Spuddy has a quiet word in our ear.
Yes.
We go and open our big mouths and say they're too fat.
Yes.
What happens? We turn their whole year around just late enough to give the Orcs of Mordor some hope to go and buy a membership for next year.
Yeah, I tell you what, Stephen, I know you're hurting. I mean, very directly right now as a result of Miss Pamela's attentions. But you have given, inadvertently, a little bit of joy, certainly to me, because there's nothing I enjoy more than a late-season resurgence by the South Sydney Rabbitohs when they aren't able to be in contention for the playoffs. It happens year after year, and it's beautiful.
You want to just dangle the carrot in front of the rabbit,
beautiful.
Do you?
Yes, it is just year. Beautiful.
Now, for those who don't know, Spuddy's known as one of the hard men of rugby league.
And very
runs,
much so.
He runs this gym, but Spuddy's come out, as you said, and done a lot of media. Now, if I could quote Spud with 2 Ds, let's not get this wrong.
Well, is it 2 Ds?
Well...
Gee, I don't know.
Should we send out the text line?
Help, please.
Help. 0409-945-945. Anybody knows it's Spud with 1D or 2Ds? What's the difference? He goes, George and Tom were too big. That's how he started this whole thing for the modern game. Now, they've been backed up by Matty Johns on radio. No lesser authority.
There you go.
Too big. Now, Sam apparently has taken umbrage, and it goes here. It has all three English brothers fired up for rampaging performances against Canterbury and under pressure coach Bulldogs. And what happened last night, Chris?
Well, look, I read the score. I mean, I declined the opportunity to go to the game because, let's face it,
not attractive enough for you.
Well, there are 7 games that matter. Every game in this round matters except this one.
That one.
Canterbury and South.
Yes.
I actually went to Seinfeld, who was next door.
Man, he's been everywhere, man.
And can I just quickly, before we come back to the fixture, which was being played next door to, let's face it, in
what
front
was
of
his
nobody.
Opening joke?
He walked out.
Yes.
Stage is
Seinfeld,
set.
15,000 people.
Spotlight
single
on him.
Spot. Suit?
Yeah, he's in a suit.
Yes.
He sort of saunters out. There's not even introduction music.
No,
the air is rife with anticipation.
Did the crowd go crazy?
No. Everyone's just going, how's he going to hit us? How's he going to make us laugh? What's his opening line going to be? He walks up the microphone. He looks left. He looks right. He looks at the microphone.
What's
he just goes, Canterbury Bankstown.
And the place fell apart.
Absolutely dissolved.
What a
Everyone
joke.
Was in uproar.
What a joke.
Best joke of 2017.
So Seinfeld, Jerry does his homework, comes to town, goes, what's the funniest thing in Sydney this week? And they go, Canterbury Bankstown's the funniest thing in Sydney.
And then he followed up with how great it is to be here at Kudos Bank Arena, because let's face it, that's the most ridiculous name in amphitheatres and stadiums worldwide.
And the crowd went, oh.
Well, you know, can we get more NRL?
Yeah.
This is what American comedians continually fail to understand, is they don't do enough rugby league-based humour.
No, but he got it right the first time round.
Oh, he killed. So absolutely
killed. Genius. Yeah. He's worth all of his $148 million from his visit here, isn't he? Unbelievable stuff. So, the Burgi, who, of course, are big men. So, Spuddy's an old hard man. Burgi, four of them, big men.
Yeah, and I think Carroll, who might have begun his career with the Penrith Panthers and then went, you know, into purgatory, i.e. South Sydney Rabbitohs, but then was encouraged across to Manly, where I think he arrived in a certain state of physicality, and then he spoke to the shaman, he spoke to the person on the mount, the person who actually spiritually guides basically all rugby league.
Mm. Bozo?
Bozo Fulton.
Yeah, right.
And what did Bozo say?
Well, we'll get to that. But first of all, he wants to say he's hoping that his friendship with the Burgi, you know, won't be torn asunder. Because I think there was a phone call at the wee hours of the morning one day. But he said, these boys are like my sons. They have lost their father. He says, I'm like a father figure.
Oh, well.
It was some tough love, but I don't want to lose a friendship over it. Carroll told the Daily Telegraph. Russell introduced me to Sam to look after these boys. I'm not here to piss anyone off. Well, see, isn't that a great mission in life? I think Jesus said the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm not here to piss anyone. Okay, he went in where the money lenders were and kicked a few tables around, you know.
It's a risk, though, isn't it, when you sort of play the father figure card?
Yeah.
You know, it sort of muddies the waters a little bit because suddenly it's no longer professional sharing opinions.
Yes.
It's family matters, and family matters are complicated, Stephen.
It's a big card to pull.
It's a very big card to pull.
I carry on here. Since no one likes change, like anything in life, you don't want to be told what to do. He's got some words of wisdom, some big, big statements here. Their father isn't here to tell them I am helping them. It was my opinion, and sometimes I don't have a filter. I would never say anything hurtful. He's digging his grave here.
I tell you what, it must be a withering call from Sam Burgess. That's all I can say.
Withering. Okay. The four of us are coming around now. They get hammered.
We've flown Luke in from overseas.
Yeah.
And we want to get around and have a powwow about the fact that you think that we're too fat, Spud.
Yes, they get hammered in the streets, left, right and centre. This is Spud talking about the Burgi. Gee whiz, they're big boys. I wouldn't hammer them in the street. I'd be crossing the road. People say maybe they should move on. What, back to Pommyland?
Well.
If South were winning, they wouldn't be on their backs. So they're on their backs now.
They're
getting hammered. They're on their backs, right? People are left at them, left, right, and centre, right?
Well, and they're having trouble getting off their backs because they're too heavy.
They're terrible.
They need assistance to get.
They are 123 kilograms and have 8% body fat. For fuck's sake, excuse my French. Body's like granite.
So he's reworking it. He's saying that they're outside optimum weight because of, you know, some arcane thing about reduced interchange and so forth. But he's very much at pains to point out that your original criticism was not valid, that they're not too fat.
No.
They're too heavy.
Too heavy.
Two different concepts.
Okay, so...
He ain't heavy, he's my son.
Yeah, forgive us, Burgi.
Yes.
For calling you fat.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
Just heavy.
Yeah.
I know he said they were massive humans, right? I have the utmost respect for these blokes, and now he's grovelling, right? I'm one of their biggest fans collectively.
So this is where it gets really, really difficult because originally we're talking professional to professional.
Yes.
Then we're family.
Yes.
And then I'm a fan. I mean, can you be all those things at the same time?
Yeah.
Can you be in a family and be a fan of your son and a professional colleague?
Spuddy's obviously a big thinker. Well, a deep thinker.
Well, we heard him on this show. There's no doubt about it. We love him.
We love him. We love you, Spud, collectively. Two of us collectively.
If we don't have Spud speaking, then we're all bereft.
Yeah. Any comment I make in public or private has the objective to help improve their game.
Pretty much public from what I can see.
But they need to be... He's still got more advice.
More.
They need to be constantly adapting and changing little pieces of the game to get ahead of the opposition. And he told this to Matty Johns, and Matty goes, right, they are apparently filthy about it. Now, we hate it when people are filthy.
No, it's not good, is it? No. I won't see people filthy.
John says, well, boys, it's true. What he's telling you is true. He's trying to do you a favour. Don't get the shits. Don't carry on. Don't sook.
It's pretty fruity, this league language, isn't it?
It is. Go down to Spud's gym. Now, interesting, he says Spud with 1D.
Right. And but, you know, the copywriting at the Astonisher these days is appalling. Like, who knows?
And let him peel a bit of that weight off. Chris? Spud? Peel.
Is Nick Walshaw doing ghostwriting for...
It might be muscle, but it doesn't matter if it's muscle or fat or whatever. It's weight you carry around. Boys, he's trying to do you a favour. Now, that just sounds like Matty Jones, doesn't it? Trying to do you a favour. He's been very good at you in the past, for you in the past. If you're worried about that, if that's what it is, you're blowing up about nothing. So go and talk to Spud, go down to the gym. You're thin skinned and you're carrying on. Well, only pommies do that sort of nonsense, don't they?
Do you think that business is a little slow down at Spud's and this is an absolutely genius cross-promotion idea?
Chris, where's that gym again?
Well, it's down in Woolloomooloo. Yeah. And in fact, friend of the show, Dennis Carnahan, in response to your request, Stephen, has sent a photo,
yeah,
which has the logo with the two Ds. He says, there's two Ds on his gym.
Mm.
It's on his card.
Mm.
Yvonne Sampson writes it with two Ds. It must be two Ds.
Got to be two Ds.
And he just has a little postscript, which is that Mark came to Rugby League the Musical, unlike Stephen Ferris. I tell you what, Dennis Carnahan, if you're listening, and you clearly are, I mean, we've given you a pretty good run on this show, and on behalf of my beleaguered colleague right now, who's literally under the pump, which is another appliance Miss Pamela is applying, get off his back, will you?
Oh, look, I had a child who had a bugging foot that night.
You're
I was going to drag you down.
You're in casualty for hours because of this broke medical system.
Listen, talking about father-son relationships here, can I get back to the real one here?
Please.
This father figure that Spud is now trying to offer to the Burgeye, he's emulating what he was given as a young man. He remembers the value in the father figure role.
Which is we were alluding to previously.
Yes, exactly. Now, when he was under Manly coach Bob Bozo Fulton in 94, he was told to strip 10K down. It resulted in a trim down Carroll winning a premiership before representing New South Wales Australia. Do I say there's no more needs to be said?
Because they only won one out of three grand finals in a row there, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all plain sailing courtesy of Boz.
Tough love, he calls it.
That's what we all need. Yes. That's what you're getting right now.
And only tough a father love can give you tough love, right? And I thank Bozo for that. His hard words created Mark Carroll, Spud with two Ds. Right?
There you go.
I didn't want to hear it, but I had to take it. Maybe Spud... Well, anyway, so Burgeo goes, maybe Spud forgets what it was like when he used to play. Well, no, he remembers very well. I think he used to eat 20 potatoes before a game. He looked like ocean liners. Maybe we should go watch some footage of him, not us.
It opens up, you know, like those, like that Pete Evans, you know, that whole paleo disastrous debate that goes on. We need the health experts to get in and go, what are the relative merits of a diet of 20 potatoes as opposed to four chickens?
Gee, you're talking some serious stuff now, aren't you? Because the birds are on the four chicken diet. Spuddy was on the 20 spud diet.
Who's better off?
Yeah, yeah. Now, talking about families, Chris, this is a week for families. And
Stephen, as I often say, there's nothing more important to me than my family.
No, and we want resolution when we have issues, correct?
Oh, we always want resolution.
Right. And there is a family that's going through some serious questioning of, the ties that bind are being pulled, stretched to the limit this week.
You're talking about the Trumps, of course.
No, even though the Trumps are big rugby league fans, and they're probably Manly supporters. Another great Manly supporter.
King Jong-un and his tribe?
The Abbott family.
Oh, the Abbott family.
The Abbott family. there's a hot issue this week, hotter than rugby league this week, and there's going to be a postal vote about it, and they're torn asunder, I'm afraid. But they say, look, we're a family like every other family. We function or dysfunction.
Yes.
Like every other normal family in the land. I find that hard to believe, Chris.
The question, Hudson, is whether we can get this country fired up.
In fact, Chris, that song started with... It's been through a couple of incarnations there.
Robert Palmer, of course, the
Addicted
original.
Addicted to Coke was the first one.
Is that right?
Talking about the soft
that was a massive worldwide hit, wasn't it?
That was told to go back and re-record. Addicted to Love, of course. And now, even better,
Well, based on recent research of effluent and so forth, I think that Gladys Berejiklian is a heartbeat away from announcing that the new Sydney anthem, probably with Clover Moore, will be Addicted to Coke.
Addicted to Coke?
Well, you know, they've been doing the research and, you know, there's a higher level of cocaine in the Sydney effluent than the national average. You know?
They did that with another city, didn't they? I think it was London first had the crown for that one, didn't it?
Sorry, you're saying around Buckingham Palace and the near environs, the level was up? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think they had the record for the most, because they test the water supply, right?
Right.
Yeah. And they go test it for all sorts of fancy things. I like your hair follicles too, Chris, did you know? Well, of which you don't have any this week. Congratulations, Chris Gayle.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was getting recognised in the street too much, Stephen.
Right.
You know, people kept coming up to me and you go, you know what? Yeah. I don't like rugby league and I don't even really like Fire Up. No. So I thought I had to stop.
Bugger. It's got a certain sort of golden black and white tinge to about it.
Yeah. So basically it's the remnants of the... my guy was away.
Dying embers, isn't it?
So I needed a haircut, but I've separated the cut and the colour. Yeah, yeah. So I'm in sort of like no person's land right now.
You've got a guy?
I've got a guy, yeah, Jason.
Seinfeld said he had guys for things. He said everyone's got a guy for things, right?
Yeah.
And there's the guy that says, now this is the best restaurant, you should go to this one, right?
Yeah, he was talking about that last night. He said that, you know, you arrive in a city and everyone goes, Jerry, you've got to go to this restaurant, it's great.
Jerry, yeah.
It's great, it's a great restaurant, it's great, great food, great atmosphere, great. He goes, I'll settle for not bad.
Not bad.
If you say that restaurant over there is not bad, I'll go, great, I'll go there.
I'm going there.
But my guy Jason is great. Best haircuts in Sydney, sir.
Now, the South Sydney resurgence is great to see because therefore rugby league's in very good hands, correct?
Yeah, when the old adage is when South is going mediocre, rugby league is going great.
Right, well, not so hot for some, though.
Really?
It says he may have poured millions of dollars into rugby league and loved the game with a passion, but that didn't do Russell Crowe any favours at his local suburban footy ground. This is the story of the week.
This was the story. There's been a lot of media attention around canine figures and rugby league in esteemed journals like the Daily Telegraph, but none more important than this story.
And that's why Russell's so loved and Sticky's not, because Sticky will kick a dog.
kick a cat. Kick a chair. Though, at the moment, Canberra's going well, and it seems to be because Sticky's actually left the sideline. He's been sent back to the coach's box.
That'd make me play better.
I think it takes a lot of pressure off the players to know that Sticky's not within kicking distance.
Now, that particular game, Canberra versus Cronulla, for those who don't know much about them, they're sort of like the... they're the unwanted pound dog, aren't they, those two teams? You know what I mean? Nobody loves them. No one cares about them. But they're like two twins the coaches separated at birth who hate each other and use the same tactics, and they go at each other and the teams go at each other like a couple of mutts.
Yeah, it's like a sort of a sidebar. In fact, the research has shown within the Shire and Canberra, they're the two districts with the lowest percentage of fans for those local teams.
Ah.
Most of the people live in those areas, they like other teams. So
they really
are the runt of the litter, those two teams.
The runt of the litter.
That's right, yeah.
And what a glory, it really just sums up rugby league, what a glorious thing to see them go at each other, hammer and tongs.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So one guy belts one guy and gets sent off, and then they start doing the same thing back, because that's what you do.
A lot of this new rivalry is around, or is summed up by Papali v. Gallen.
Yeah.
And Papali was quite rightly put in the...
You put a grub in a suit, still a grub, right?
That's right.
And
you
the two of them, no matter how you dress them up.
As I say, you put lipstick on a pig, it's a date. It's a date. particularly if you're
in your world, it's a date.
Particularly if you're in a bondage pig sling, as you currently are. Right. But Papali gets put in the bin for failing to retire the 10, and his great rival Gallen responds to that by head-highing the nearest Canberra player he can find and costing them the game.
Yeah, well...
That's how bad it is.
Can I just mention, you got me thinking about something. You put a bit of brute on old Gallen, he's attractive to some ladies.
Yes, he is attractive to some ladies.
Find him quite attractive.
I'm not going to mention names because they get very, very upset when we mention their names.
Yes, exactly.
But, I mean, I imagine there'll be a little celebration because it's Gal's 300th this weekend.
A little celebration.
And isn't it fitting that he's celebrating it up at Suncorp Stadium? The scene of so much joy.
So many great
wins in the Blues jumper.
You know, and I always thought that maybe I'm just stuck on this theme this week, that he always looked like Mr. Potato Head. He looked like somebody, so like God had gone, geez, I've got these leftover bits here. I'll just put them all together and nobody will notice.
Well, I mean, let's face it, Gal is not such a, or G-Train, they're not really... They don't really stick as nicknames. And based on the research we've established today, the nickname Spud 1D is actually now available.
It's free.
So he could be Paul Spud Gallen.
Paul Spud 1D. Gallen. It's got a nice ring to it.
And Mark Spud Carroll 2Ds can
away you go, son. Now, this is the most amazing picture. I mean, everybody in the world loves dog and cat videos, right? Now, the Telegraph just pulled out this beautiful blue heeler. It's staring at us right now, isn't it, Chris?
It is.
It's a beautiful little dog. And this blue heeler pup was down visiting the Big Smoke from his normal home on Crows Coffs Harbour Farm, Nanna Glen.
Yeah.
It's got a church. I think the dog goes to church.
The dog is welcome on Nanna Glen as opposed to Luke Keary.
That's right. A stern female official turned away Crow and trusty companion. Care Blue,
which I think is a type of cattle dog. So Rusty's right. Actually hasn't bothered to give it a name.
He's
just given it his breed name.
Hey, Care Blue. Does he use the French pronunciation or just the Aussie?
Care Blue.
Care Blue. And look, it's wearing a beret. It's so cute. It's got a little striped blue and white top.
It's been with a lingerie. It's actually got a baguette. Yeah.
Now let's come to the Big Smoke. It's going, well, you know, there are these supposed, you know, French bulldogs all around the street here. Get me back to Paris now, please. And where's the Louvre, you know? Like, you call this the Big Smoke, you know?
They need some blue heelers in Paris.
So the mascot oval. Rusty walks up to the fence with his trusty dog, Care Blue. And a stern female attendant says, sorry, sir, no dogs allowed. Now, what would you expect Rusty to do first off?
Look for the nearest phone.
Go nuts, right? And the nearest phone, yeah. He's got a bag of phones, right?
Yeah, it's good. Something to
throw. Don't say that. He knows where we live. He was unaware that the Oval is a dog-free zone, although the South Sydney Rabbitohs saviour and co-owner and father figure and gladiator and a beautiful mind leading man... Can we go on here? It's great writing. Was bemused when another dog owner walking straight in telling the same official her poodle was the team mascot. Whereabouts in South Sydney do they have poodles as a team mascot? A rabbit, sure, not a poodle.
It's a pretty thin ruse, isn't it? You'd be able to see through it. I tell you what, though, it's a little... You would have thought there'd be a sort of... If the mascot card was particularly a mascot oval, was an ability to get in, you would have thought Russell would have been given a freebie because of his enormous contribution to Australian cinema, South Sydney Rugby League and Australian life in general.
Tick, tick, tick.
But the female security officer didn't recognise
him. None of that stuff.
Wonder if that means he should be heading back to Spuds Gym.
Yes, exactly.
You know, she just has to be watching an old copy of Romper Stomper, and he says, no, Russell Crowe.
That's not you. No. I've got a picture here. No, it doesn't work.
And look, I'm the first to say that I'm not as svelte as I was 20-odd years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You'd still be recognised.
Well, not with this haircut.
Not with that haircut.
That's why I got the haircut.
So I also think if you've got a great big sort of mastiff bulldog or whatever, and you're walking in one of, if there was such a thing, a King's Cross nightclub owned by the Abrahams, they go, oh, it's just the mascot. In you come through. In you go. No problems there at all. So a friend saw what happened, came to his rescue. This is Rusty. Looking after the dog while he went onto the ground to watch. So he said, I'll mind your dog. Would you trust a guy saying, I'll mind your dog? We're down a mascot.
You reckon Rusty's friends are in mascot?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a finger wharf, I'd get it.
Sure,
you know, someone
sure.
comes out of Otto and goes, hang on, I'll look after the dog. There's no problem. Mascot oil.
And they'd be feeding it caviar, you know, crab, lobster.
To put on the baguette.
the baguette with his beret, you know. And Care Blue would be happy there.
There's nothing a cattle healer likes more than a bit of French bread with some brie or camembert on it.
So meanwhile, this poor little thing, you know, this is Care Blue, was quivering when this poodle walked past, right? Quivering in its boots, you know, its little green and red boots it just got that morning, you know. Never worn them before, right? the pup is a bit young to leave by himself in a car, Crow says. Well, he's a respectable...
Because it'd be a flash do. It'd be a Bentley or something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but joke. I prefer my upholstery without bite marks. It's not very rugby league, is it? No. he lives up in Coffs, and he's only visiting the state capital. Nice way to treat visitors from the bush, he says. Besides, he's a blue heeler.
That's right.
Boom, boom.
Origin icon. Tommy Radonikis, yes. Come on down.
So what happened? We don't even know what happened.
Well, I think he left. Well, no, he went and watched. This is the thing. Mm. Is my desire to be with man's best friend superseded by my desire to watch South Juniors run around on a Saturday afternoon? The answer is yes. He left it with the friend.
Ah, is that right?
And I mean, I think there's now an APB out for where Kablooey is because he's gone Kablooey.
I think a therapy. Obviously. When you're cowering next to a poodle and you've been tied up to a fence and Russell doesn't love you anymore.
I mean, is it too premature to call for a Royal Commission into the Association and Treatment of Dogs vis-a-vis Rugby League?
Yeah.
No, because they've had a rough run over the last couple of years.
Right. Now, I think we've got a quote, haven't we?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I think that was the next section, but let's have it now.
Okay. Let's have a listen.
Frustrating game, and we come up with some uncharacteristic decisions on three tries. We should have handled. We knew they were coming. You know, the lady down the corner shop would have known BJ Lula was going to come out and pass to Rapana on that that side there. And
the lady at the corner shop, geez. Yeah, like, is it any greater authority?
Like the Sharks' defence, I got that wrong. Of course, yeah. It is the time to talk about the Sharks' Canberra game. And that particular moment, if I can just quickly walk you through it.
Yeah.
We've learned in recent weeks that the actual correct pronunciation is Jordan Rapana.
Rapana.
Which means Leilua and Rapana should be pronounced Lapana or Lapana. Oh. It doesn't quite go. Yeah.
As if it isn't hard enough already for our regular league names, Chris.
As Flano said, call him Joey Lulalai. Getting confused with Thomas Lulalai, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they've formed a combination on the right edge for Canberra, Stephen.
Yeah.
And Joey's thrown a beautiful cutout pass. Yeah. And the head-on shot shows as Rapana puts the ball down.
Rapana!
Stephen Price used to coach you guys.
Yeah.
Now runs the water for Cronulla.
Dad.
Which, let's face it, is a promotion. And he throws his water bottle down in disgust. Right, and Flano's up in arms.
So who are they blaming?
Well, he's blaming his own defence because, as he says, the lady at the corner shop.
It's Rapana and defence?
It's
what?
That's right.
Is the world coming to Chris Gayle?
Would have seen that, and I think what he's saying is that the lady at the corner shop could play a bigger role in rugby league.
Oh, you know, she could have seen that was correct or incorrect.
Defence coordinator, yeah. Referee.
But so you're saying the linesman got it wrong?
No, the linesman got it right yet again. And, you know, we hear a lot of deflection from coaches about the referees getting it wrong.
Yes.
But we need more recruits like the lady at the corner shop to be the sorts of officials we need, referees and linesmen.
Yes, I'm with you there. Absolutely with you.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Salute to Jimmy Webb and to Glenn Campbell for that moment of genius, absolute, just whatever it is, it's just amazing.
In your top 10 songs of all time.
Top 10 of all time.
That's esteemed company.
It comes, and yours too?
Yeah, I think we were talking about this before and we both agreed that Addicted to Spuds by Weird Al Yankovic and Wichita Lineman are both in the top 10.
How dare you, Chris Gayle? How dare you? Is this a funny show or a serious show?
Well, it
attempts to be a little funny at times.
It's certainly not funny, ha-ha, let's put it that way.
No, it is not, no. Chris, when I say rugby league and vision, just say no.
I will say no.
Just say no.
I was going to say Spud Carroll, but anyway.
No. Now, there'd be many visionaries in rugby league. I mean, I would imagine the very first, the breakaway tribe from rugby union, they weren't necessarily visionary. They were just survivalists, right?
They were pioneers. They were heroes.
And there have been betrayal after betrayal and traitors and blood spill. You go back to 1909. Is that when the pain first started with you?
Yes, it did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this next week big time, right? But what was the story there, briefly?
Well, just very briefly, the Rugby League Grand Final between the Balmain Tigers and the South Sydney Rabbitohs was scheduled as a curtain raiser for a fundraising match for the Wallabies.
Yeah, and you were there.
Amazingly, I was there.
Yeah.
And for a series of reasons around Balmain being waterside workers and the early kickoff and they'd lose their jobs if they turned up for the grand final.
That old thing again.
They reached out to the South Sydney fans and
It
is rock solid agreed.
Yes.
That both teams said that they would boycott the game.
They're sort of neighbouring in a respect. They're inner city working class suburbs.
We're trying to build a code here, Stephen, which we're 2 years in.
The enemy is rugby union.
Yeah. We can't kowtow to our masters.
No, exactly.
We can't dip our lid to the tops.
I'm just having flashbacks of Braveheart when the Scottish clans sold out Mel Gibson in his moment of glory against Longshanks, right?
Exactly.
And
so the agreement was played. The game would not be played. Yeah. And, of course, at the scheduled time, South turned up at the SCG, kicked off the ball, scored a try and won the premiership.
They did not.
And from then the on, the lines
South,
were... Well...
That the whole code is built upon. Well, and Newtown, but... Yeah.
And then it's just a litany of reasons why to hate them. I mean, it just any era, you can find plenty of reasons.
This is the thing about rugby. Just when you think you're on a good run, South are coming back, the code's in safe hands, you hear a story like that and you realise it's rotten to the core. Rotten to the core, right?
Absolutely
but
is.
But there is one true dare I say, night on silver lining in rugby league. The Newtown Jets. And we will be there soon, won't we?
We are doing the Newtown Jets University of Rugby League function, Stephen.
We're not so much Bill as the top line stuff. Yvonne is on the top line.
That's right. I mean, the basic format of the event is that there's a lot of entertainment and then there's a bit where everyone can go to the bathroom, get another drink or whatever.
Yeah.
And they just need to fill the space.
Right.
That's us.
Ah, okay.
And to a degree, it's also Dennis Carnahan, to be honest.
Right.
But it's their second University of Rugby League Part 2.
Yeah.
And they look at the various estates in rugby league. And
well, I think it's except estates.
The first estate is the players.
Yes.
The second estate is the officials, including the Wichita linesmen.
Including them, yeah.
Yeah. And the lady from the corner shop.
Of course, yes. And the stern lady down at Mascot Oval.
That's right, the security woman.
Yeah. And what about the dogs? Are they in?
I think the...
You better check Peter RSL.
Well, the third estate is the fans. I don't think you put the dogs in there.
Where do we fit?
The fourth estate is the press.
Are we in that?
Well, I think we're on the...
We're attached to that.
We're on the press housing estate, but we're the workman's shed out the back, around the
Some
corner.
Some barnacle out
on
the back.
On the other side of the lake could have used a bit of maintenance in recent times and is more correctly described as a toxic swamp.
So the rest of the fourth estate, humorous, do they, Chris?
Well, listen, this is a glittering lineup.
Yes,
I'm Yvonne Sampson, and she was on here recently. And
she's
just
gold.
Brought the house down. Absolutely magnificent.
Everyone's clowning, saying, you guys, you clowns, get off, bring her back.
Yeah,
we can't afford her. Simple as that.
Brad Walter, former journo for the Herald. Josh Massoud, who backs up on Channel 7.
Yes.
Adrian Prosenko, currently writing for the Herald.
Yes.
And get this, a man whose star is in the ascendancy right now. Some people say he's...
Buddy Carroll.
Well,
no.
That's right.
No.
It's Luke Burgess. No. it's the man who most people refer to as Heaps, but we will always know him as the Trout, Graham Hughes. How about that?
He's the hottest tip for taking over, isn't he?
Well, he called your game last week.
Yes.
And everyone was so happy.
I didn't hear it, of course.
That's right. Well, no. And now you can't hear it because you've got the sensory...
strapped up.
You've got the sensory deprivation hood on.
Yes, exactly. Right. I mean, lashed as we speak.
I'm communicating to you with semaphores right now. And you're doing a fine job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, now you get the gag out of the mouth. But Hughes is backed up again.
Yep.
And, of course, now he's in the conversation to replace the great Ray Warren.
How did that happen? He hasn't said a word for 30 years, and now he's opened his mouth. Everyone's going, whoa, the Messiah's here.
So the Telegraph does a poll. Yeah. 2,000 people, including Bronco Reg, responded. And by kilometres, the two leading candidates are Graham Hughes and our Andrew Voss, who I think will be joining us this year later in the season.
He just needs a good run-up, he reckons, 6 days to get on the piss. And then he'll come in.
He'll be fine.
All right, then he'll be fine.
Spruik that book of his.
That shows
stuff
professionalism is the highest order. Thank you, Vossie. Right.
And then Hadley, Ray Hadley, comes in like distant fourth, 7%, and now he's gone Graham Hughes, saying 30 years he's a has-been, he's on a radio station that no one listens to, and I can relate to that.
Well, Warren Smith.
Solid third. Will be joining us next week.
Next week.
With Ian Heads.
Well, that will certainly push him up the ladder a little
Talking
bit.
Talking more Balmain South stuff, yeah,
yes.
You know.
Okay.
Anyway, so this glittering lineup and then the break, which is us and Dennis Carnahan, is occurring on Tuesday the 22nd of August this year.
Yes.
7 p.m. for 7:30 p.m. Petersham RSL. Yeah. We went to the Jets annual dinner there last year.
Yeah.
A magnificent occasion. Yeah. And again, Bronco Reg wrote a letter of apology for his behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
So he should be with us.
Well, Chris, you know, I've just been doing my work on my piece for the evening. And I thought I would rework a piece that I had a dream. I have a dream. I have a vision. So I'm going to rewrite it for us, and I'll be ready in a couple of weeks' time for this momentous occasion.
And just simply to complete as we move into the vision discussion, because I know you're a big picture guy, Steve.
I am indeed.
There will be emceed and auctioneered by a friend of the show, Albie Tallarico. One of the auction items will be your pig sling.
Yes.
And this is going to be a challenge. The one bit of challenge for our listeners, because I know they'll be queuing up to go, is the dress is lounge suit or smart casual.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
But if you want to get involved, call Stu McCarthy, the great general manager there at the Jets, 0447-046-516. That number again.
Yes.
0447-046-516 or S McCarthy, SMCCARTHY.
And why is this
at NewtownJets.com?
The reason for this not often heard estate, the media and their attached colleagues like ourselves, why is this happening?
Why is it happening? In terms of why are they looking at it?
Why are we having an event like this?
Well, I mean, I think it's to benefit the Jets.
Right, okay, it's a fundraiser.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser.
Okay, gotcha, yeah. Good.
But I think it's happening because I think a very harsh light has to be shone on the performance of the press, and we're part of that because we don't realise how important we are.
No.
You make an off-the-cuff remark about the bird just being too fat, and all hell breaks
all
loose.
Hell, yeah.
Next thing you end up in a mask.
Yeah, but father figures left, right and centre. Okay, so
and the Abbots.
So the Abbots,
the Abbots are in crisis. Man. By the way, the Abbots, the Burjoy and Spud Carroll should get around for a meal. And you know what would be served?
Spuds.
Potato bake.
Yes.
In roast their jackets. Potatoes.
Right, yes. Sour cream.
Potato salad.
Parsley.
Big bowl of chips.
Yeah, big bowl of chips. The Irish are smiling now. Here we go. Now, many people have had a great vision for rugby league because for many years, as I said, it was a survival thing. It was a hatred thing. It was a, you know, just get on through the week. It was, you know, basically a working man's sort of relief at the end of, you know, a couple of beers, a few beers, you know.
Soma for the masses.
Soma for the masses, exactly. George Orwell couldn't have put it better.
Then or we Aldous had, Huxley.
Yeah, or Aldous Huxley. Then we had visionary like John Rebo.
Who Dobrzyk.
Who wanted to take it to?
China.
China. Didn't go. But it's still in the... That's the thing about a vision. It just remains firm. It doesn't go away.
He wanted to take the game to China. It ended up in Townsville.
Yeah. The Murdochs. Big vision.
Huge vision.
Put their money where their mouth is. Yeah. They had to walk, leaving a bit of money behind.
I think Murdoch's vision was to purchase rugby league in order to crush it.
Yes.
And just leave rugby union as a one true code.
And you know how he's doing
code.
That? Yeah. With Melbourne. Thank you very much, Rupert. Thank you very much. Melbourne is your, you know...
Well, and I mean, it's a millstone around the rugby league's neck because they have to spend that war chest every year to pay people, paid actors, to go to
the games.
Amy Stadium to represent the crowd.
Too much cowbell.
That cowbell.
Kills me.
Seriously. I mean...
Kill the guy with the cowbell.
Olympic Park was just a godforsaken old 20th century stadium, windswept, and the cowbell would clang away, and you think, they go to Amy...
Did the lift go flash ever on there?
Marjorie? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. No, you're not talking about... The Great Betty Cuthbert.
Did she ever run there?
Next door.
Next door.
MCG, 56.
MCG, yeah, of course.
100, 200.
Well, of course.
8 years later, 400 at Tokyo.
Who could forget?
One of the great track and field athletes of all time. Oh. You know, no track and field athlete has won at those three distances at Olympic Games?
Ever.
How about that? Two different Olympics, but fantastic.
And our thoughts go out to the Usain Bolt family.
Yeah, well, you know.
Get on the drugs, mate. You know, that's all we can say.
Is that a little bit of how Melbourne felt after losing the grand final to the Cronulla? No,
I hope so.
No, that's not right.
I hope so. Oh! Yeah.
But they go to Amy. Yeah. It's now this beautiful sort of hive, bubble, Beijing
Purple
Olympic Stadium thing.
Yeah.
Purple and green. It looks magnificent. And then Melbourne score a try and you hear, duck, 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 duck. Like it's Blue Oyster Cult all over again. Too much cowbell. Yeah.
Now, of course, we can't forget the greats like Ken Arthurson. He had some sort of vision.
He had a vision which was Manly basically raping and pillaging all the other clubs. It wasn't a complicated vision, but it was successful.
And it's so good, it's being repeated as we speak.
It is at the junior level.
And then, of course, Arco and Quayle, who are also looking after themselves and rugby league, because they were rugby league, correct?
You know, is that a fair fight, Arco and Quayle versus Rupert Murdoch? Turns out it was.
Now, a man who, I don't know if you'd really call it vision, depends on which way you look, doesn't it? But... editor at large, Buzz Rossier, right? He says, rugby league prices working class fans out of going to games. So this is more of a whinge than it is a dream.
It's a continuation of his Code and Crisis annual article.
Okay, his memory. He's got a memory here, right? We love a memory here. When you go to the SCG, you buy a pie and a couple of beers from the bar under the old scoreboard and watch from the hill. Getting all misty-eyed now.
Well, you used to watch from the toilet block, didn't you?
On top of it, yeah. You go home, we change out of $10.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Enough to buy a hot dog on the way home. No wonder he's looking good. Outside, this is 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Outside the ground for one of those methylated spirits-fueled stands.
Still get them at Leichhardt Oval. Hot doggy, get your hot doggy. Hot doggy.
Families are also allowed to take in Eskies with all their own food. Well, and here's a story, if you can believe it.
Hang on.
Once we even smuggled alcohol in, a bottle of bourbon shoved inside the carcass of a chicken. True story.
Oh, that's not a true story. Come on. You larrikin Buzz Rockfield. Goodness me.
He's a
bourbon inside the chicken.
Bourbon inside the chicken.
No, one of the Burgess are eating four at a sitting.
Now, get this, Chris. This is the contemporary vision unveiled, right? A family passed a brookie. Well, they need the money, don't they? They'll set you back $121.99. No seats, nothing undercover, just entry. No chickens, no bourbon. No Eskies, right?
That's why the Abbott family's in crisis.
Yeah.
Because they want to go down to Brookie and they can't afford it.
Throw in the petrol, $40 worth of food. It comes to $220 a day.
Whoa.
Yeah. Unbelievable stuff. Can you believe that, Chris? So I don't know what his vision is.
Yeah. I think his vision is it should be cheaper.
Right. Okay.
He's not only is he sports editor at large, he's economics editor.
Right.
And he's had a look at the price elasticity issue and he's come up with that solution.
Now, there's a man doing something about this.
Thank God.
And if I say these two words, don't laugh, all right?
I'm not going to.
Canterbury Bankstown. All right. Ray Dib.
Ray Dib,
right.
Don Dib.
Yeah. And it's called a meet. And when you want to have a meet where no one's listening, it's all undercover. Chinese restaurant style.
Mm.
Now, he's called this meeting up, Chinese Whispers, it's called in the paper today. He's invited two from Penrith, Brian Fletcher and Phil Gould, Don Ferner from Canberra, Brian Johnson from St George, Joe Kelly. Who's Joe Kelly from the Roosters?
Well, he used to be at South. Might have been at Manly at some stage. He's done the rounds, Joe.
All right, Lyle Gorman, Cronulla, Shane Richardson. Hope he's lost a bit of weight.
He was in the thrall of the Burjo. He's got to get out of that.
Get those calipers on him or whatever. Are they calipers?
Yeah, calipers, yeah.
Right. Bernie Gurr, Parramatta. And
doing a great job there at Parramatta.
Todd Greenberg, the NRL.
Well, there
well,
you go.
Fire up guest, we should say.
So, yeah, that's right.
He's the stooge for fire up in there, isn't
he? So if you're looking at the future of the game, by the way, is it too early to call a Royal Commission into the connection between Chinese restaurants and rugby league? Because nothing good seems to ever happen.
Look, if you want
the Peter Gow situation,
you won't last long in this life, Chris Gayle, with that sort of attitude.
But just to go over it again, I mean, that's all the Sydney clubs and Todd Greenberg, is that right? All the Sydney clubs are invited?
Well, I think we're missing a few there, aren't we?
I think we're missing one.
Newcastle?
That's not a Sydney club.
No, sorry, just Sydney clubs.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There are nine Sydney clubs,
Roosters,
aren't there?
Roosters, yeah. South, Cronulla, Parramatta, Penrith, two. Canberra's not spelled, New South Wales. What are we missing here, Chris?
Well, I mean, to me, of course, I immediately noticed the...
absence of?
West Tigers.
Your team.
Yeah, but interestingly, Bronco Regis pointed out that Manly's not invited.
That's true.
Is that right?
They're no good. They're on the nose now. Everybody hates Manly now.
This is how bad it's going.
Right.
Everybody hates Manly, and now the Tigers can't even get a seat at the table at a Chinese restaurant at Canterbury Leagues.
Right, so let's say this a big picture, a vision's going to come out of this Chinese banquet, isn't it?
What would that vision be?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think it's to buzz Rothfield's side, make the food cheaper.
Hot dogs on the out.
Rugby league success
SQ
story.
On the in.
2018.
Wipe down the stadium at SCG, put the hill back in.
Perfect.
Great vision.
Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
Oh, I could hide 'neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it stings.
This show is called Fired Up. My name is Stephen Ferris with Chris Gayle. We've both got new haircuts. We're looking slim, trim, neat and terrific. I'm telling you now, lucky it's radio. Otherwise, the masses will be at the doors. Hey?
I'm telling you, I mean, we're really hitting it out of the park. You know,
absolutely.
With three of the top 10 songs of all time. You know, fold in Neil Diamond's Daydream Believer by the Monkees. But
mate, who's going to top that?
Well, but Anton did text in and said he does prefer the British Electric Foundation version of Wichita Lyman with Glenn Gregory from
you
Heaven 17.
You just made that up, hey?
I'm not making that up.
Okay.
I'm not making that up.
Now, one of our listeners says, Jared Hayne isn't distancing himself from the Abrahams, but this is his house or house.
Beach house.
Toddy from Ramsgate, eh? Toddy.
I tell you what, people are running away from the Abrahams at a million miles an hour right now, aren't they?
Right.
Which is not what Jared Hayne is doing on the field, which is running at a million miles an hour.
Now, Toddy's also sent a link, which I'll have to open up after we go off air.
So,
I haven't got time to read it right now.
Be safe.
Now, Chris, none of us like getting our faces bit off.
Though if you slip Miss Pamela an extra 50, you'll be right.
Now, like that poor little kitty that went into the lake the other day and had the insects bite his leg off.
Oh, the sea mites.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Yeah, well, apparently Clemmer, the Clemmerator, David Clemmer, was doing an impersonation of those little insects last week, but he got off scot-free, didn't he?
He did. It was a little contretemps with Frank Pritchard, but they're great mates, apparently. Yeah, so they're always great mates.
A little nibble on the field stays on the field, right?
And Grant Atkins charged in, and as the referees are doing, and suggested, did he try to bait your face off? Do you want to lay a charge?
So he saw something.
He saw something.
Yeah.
Just two mates having a bit of a laugh on the field.
But
back out of it.
But that's not the worst thing that happened this week for Clemmer.
No, there was worse.
Okay. Now, apparently, the Canterbury Bankstown, right? Don't laugh. That's Seinfeld's joke, right?
Oh, that kills me. Okay. Absolutely kills me.
Apparently they lost last week and this week, right? And the week before.
Why should this week be any different?
No, okay. So anyway.
Evil Empire, I don't think so.
They lose. Clem is part of the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, or Berries as we used to call them in the old days, yes. The golden days. You know, they go into their dressing room.
That's right. They used to be the Berries of War, didn't they?
The Berries of War. I'm scared. They weren't even poisoned. Right? So they go in their dressing room. Then they're toweling off, changing. No one's saying a word. Graham's red-faced. You know, they're all embarrassed about their performance. In comes a fan.
Yes.
An irate fan.
Yes.
What does he say?
Well, he goes up and he congratulates Clemmer on what a great season he's having.
Did
and
he
how
say
much,
that?
Yes, and how much of an admirer he is of his game.
It's one of the old tricks of diplomacy,
right?
It's called, Kim Jong-un's very good at that.
It's the traditional softening up phrase.
Yes. I love you. And they go, oh, thanks, mate. And they shake your hand. And then whilst you got the hand.
Then you put the stink on.
Then what are you...
Where he said, but you need to develop an offload.
An offload, right. So, boom.
And Clemmer, who's been to sensitivity training, doesn't want to go the fan initially and says, mate, appreciate that, but it was wet out there, needed to hang on to the ball.
And you know who was in the corner? Jerry Seinfeld was writing notes.
Or his research team.
This is gold, this stuff. You need to develop. And then he's going, I wonder how that'll go with the Americans. You need to develop an offload.
You're actually right last night. So halfway through the set, he just stopped and just went, Clemmer, offload. And the place is old again.
Okay. So anyway, Woodsy, in defence. Now he wasn't in the same dressing room, was he?
He's talking about Aaron Woods.
Yeah.
What's he got to do with it? Well, God, they're good mates, aren't they?
He stood up for the Canterbury lock, and this must be a Blues thing. Right. I'm guessing Blues Brothers. You know that sort of thing. You know. He admitted he was proud of him for not losing his cool after the fan critic. Well, probably he's probably about 6'8", weighs 140 kilo. He's all mean, isn't he? You know.
There's no greater praise from someone to say I'm really impressed that he didn't go and bash someone up.
Yeah. He could have killed the guy. And basically he's saying he kept his cool here, said the four walls, and we hear about this in theatre, don't we? The four walls, you know, we hear about
fourth estate.
States, yeah.
Shed out the back.
The four walls of the sheds is what the team is made of. If anyone wants to come inside the sheds, they have to respect the rules of the sheds. So I'm going to come down and go into the sheds, you know, a couple of weeks' time and say, look, I'm going to respect the rules. I'm coming in, though.
Maybe that's what Fire Up is, a beaten up old dressing room out the back.
Yeah, with a lock on it?
No lock on it.
He can say whatever he wants when he's outside, apparently. You know, you can shout abuse, you can be racist, you can be sexist.
Aren't there laws about that? But... Yeah.
Whether Clemmer is sitting on the side or walking out the field, he can give as much abuse as he wants. That's part of being a fan. That's what you pay for.
That's what I pay my $200.
When you bring your chicken and your bourbon
that's
in.
That's what I pay my $200 at Brookvale for.
So you can vent.
That's right.
But once you come inside those four walls, you have to respect the team's privacy. I was proud of Clem, the way he handled himself. It was his young bloke Jackson's birthday.
Happy birthday, Jackson.
Father, son.
Father figures.
That's what it's all about. Sweet.
And he's a fan.
For him not to react, if that was Clem 2 or 3 years ago, old Clem would have reacted. Now I'm thinking, gone nuclear.
Ballistic.
North Korean.
Gone all North Korean on his
gone
butt.
Gone Trump on him. Yeah. What do you reckon?
Hell and fire and all that good stuff.
He said, I think the crazy eyes came out, but he stood still. He's obviously done a bit of therapy.
That's right. He's done the training.
So that's good news, right? Now, it's not great news, but it's good news he didn't belt the living daylights out of this bloke who came into the four walls. Right?
No, though he did come back a little bit later and say to the guy, you need to learn to keep your opinions to yourself.
He said that, the four walls.
Inside the four walls, to which the fan responded, you need to get yourself an offload.
Mate, Seinfeld could have done that better.
Game, set and match, fan.
Done. Right. Now, this is Feel Good Fourth section on Feel Good Friday, right? Fire up. All the F's.
Yep.
Okay, fourth estate.
We're alliterative.
Style. Yep. We want to end on a happy story, a happy sad story.
Okay.
You know, sweet and sour, so to speak, you know. Ashton as a party. He woke on Monday morning. He thought his emotional encounter with NRL star James Tedesco was all a dream. Because we've been talking dreams today.
That's true. Visions.
But the meeting that has touched the hearts of league lovers all over became even more of a reality when the pair caught up again, this time to kick a footy. Tedesco handed over a pair of personalised pink boots after Ashton had waited to meet the star fullback on Sunday following the Tigers' clash with the Panthers at Pepper Stadium. Tears for Teddy. That's what followed.
Really?
Tears for Teddy.
Not about the result.
No. The experience. Thank you very much, West Tigers, for pushing us out of the eight. You know,
more than our pleasure.
The experience left the 10-year-old in tears as he was overwhelmed by the generous gesture. But better was to come. On Monday afternoon, the pair reunited with Tedesco, giving up even more of his time to kick a footy around with Ashton, who is safe to say it's the Blues star's number one fan.
I thought I was, but you know, I tell you what, we need more of it. We've got the Hodko Prince Charming story. We need more good stories in rugby league, Stephen. It's great that we can deliver them.
All I can say is, if that's all it takes for a kiddie to be crying for the rest of his life, tears for Teddy, what's happening in North Queensland? All those kiddies everywhere.
There are children crying everywhere.
Chris, it's been a pleasure.
It's so much fun, Stephen.
And look, if anybody just comes up to you with any officer, just say no.
Right? If anyone, I will say no.
Just say
and,
no.
And also, if anyone comes up to me in the street and has a remark, I'll just say, go get yourself an offload.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!